Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Luke chapter 1. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." This is the text. During these three Wednesday Advent services, we're going to look at the days leading up to the birth of our Lord from the perspective of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary. Zechariah and Mary each have questions concerning God's message to them concerning the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus. In the first part of Luke chapter 1, when the angel tells Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth will at long last give birth to a son, he disbelieves. He asks the question, "How shall I know this?" Literally, how can I be sure of this? This is the attitude we often have toward God also. Like Zechariah, we often view God as being limited. Now, we would never say that as a point of doctrine. Oh no, I mean, we know what it says in the catechism and the creeds. But when we look at how we actually conduct our life on a day-to-day basis, where we place our trust, do we really treat God as being God? For example, there's numerous examples. I mean, it's ongoing. But I was thinking about this past week. You watch the news, you see the multitudes who are willing and eager to get up before the crack of dawn and go shopping. Or, well, a lot of other people went hunting too, for that matter, because they had a day off of work. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. I've done both. However, if during the rest of the year that same person determines that they can't make it to church on Sunday morning because that's their only day off, or they don't want to get up that early, see, there's kind of a problem. God is not being treated as God. I mean, whatever your highest priority is, well, that's what your God is. So as we journey through this Advent season, and we see how the questions here in Luke chapter 1 progress from the disbelief and doubt of Zechariah, finally to the belief but bewilderment of Mary, and finally the excited anticipation of the one who is coming, who has found favor with the Lord. When we look at the saints of old, we find out we have a lot in common with the saints of old. Today our focus is on Zechariah and his disbelief. You know, prior to this day, when he's there in the temple, I mean, he is a faithful man of God. Luke even says that about him. If anyone would have asked Zechariah, do you think that God can do anything? Can he perform a miracle? Well, absolutely. They had been praying for a miracle. He and Zechariah and Elizabeth, that they would have a child, that God would answer their prayer. If you ask Zechariah before this day, I'm sure, if you ask him, do you think God can perform a miracle for you? He would have answered with a resounding yes. Just like any of us would. We know our doctrine. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Then an angel appears to him, tells him that he and Elizabeth were going to have a son. Suddenly, he needs more evidence. Well, the evidence was there in Scripture. If you'd been reading Genesis, you would have realized that just like with Abraham and Sarah, who were blessed with the birth of Isaac in their old age, so too he and Elizabeth will be blessed with the birth of John. Abraham and Sarah, they certainly had their moments of doubt. they were, again, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, faithful people. Yet each of them laughed. Two different places there in Genesis when the angel came and said, "You and Sarah are going to have a son." Abraham laughed. He comes back, tells him again. Sarah laughs, as we heard in our reading. We have more in common with the saints of old than you think. They were sinners just like you and me. They had moments of questioning and doubt. Zechariah, rather than blessing and praising God for the good news that the angel Gabriel had brought to him, Zechariah says, "How can I be sure of this?" It was a message that just seemed too good to be true. You know, before he could go all in on what was told to him, he needed proof. At least he wanted a little more assurance than just words. Oh, we are so much like Zechariah. Publicly stating our faith in God, we do so within the insulated circle of family and friends with great ease. But going all in and treating God as our highest priority, treating Him like He is God, that's something we struggle with. We struggle greatly in doing that. Because all that we have to work with is this promise of His Word. And we, by nature, want more. We want something we can, you know, that we can show others. Even though, as Jesus says, you have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't even believe if a ghost came down and told them about God. The Word is all that we need. We look around at our community, you know, especially during the Advent and Christmas seasons, and we see that people are constantly being presented the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world to redeem us from the guilt of our sin. But our human nature sees God as limited. How can I be sure of this? How can I really know this? How do I know that God is really God? It seems too easy. All I have to do is put my faith and trust in this Almighty who has only been revealed to me through the teachings of this book written a few thousand years ago, who brings me forgiveness complete and free with His Word joined with water, bread, wine. Our world feels the same way as Zechariah did when presented with this greatest news. It just seems too easy, too good to be true. And the common reaction, even among those who recognize there is a God, especially when they don't treat Him as if He's God, the perception often is that there's always a question in the back of your mind: why would this Almighty God take the time to be so concerned about me? If God is really God, why would He go to such lengths to save me? One living person. Why would an Almighty choose me to be redeemed by the blood of His Son? Why would He be so concerned so as to wash me clean of all of my sin, feed me with the very flesh and blood of His own Son? Just like Zechariah, who was overwhelmed with the physically improbable prospect that he and Elizabeth would be blessed with a child in their old age. We too are often overwhelmed by the tremendous gifts, blessings that God has promised and that he has poured out on each of us. And we may ask the question, how can I be sure of this? Don't be overwhelmed by the unconditional love and mercy that God has shown you, even though it is overwhelming. I mean, you'll never figure it out or rationally reason it out because it doesn't make any sense at all. And by the world's standards, the gift of Jesus seems too good to be true. It does. However, the thing is that the world around us doesn't understand the nature of God or the nature of unconditional love. The world doesn't show unconditional mercy, kindness, grace, compassion, forgiveness. When we see those things happening in our lives, we see God being God. And that's what happens right here. Those are the characteristics of God himself. Merciful, kind, compassionate, forgiving, gracious. That is how he is best understood. Even though Zechariah first reacted to the good news of the angel with disbelief, he was still shown love and mercy and all the blessings that God had promised. And through Zechariah's son John, the world was introduced to the greatest blessing that God ever gave to his people, his own son, the child of Mary. How can I be sure of this? We can only be sure when we look outside of ourselves and see the sure and certain promise of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. We must look outside ourselves and to that word of promise that God has given. It is in Scripture and nowhere else that he permits himself to be found. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.